All right, everybody, welcome back to Tech Gumbo. I am Haggai Davis III, co-hosting with Haggai Davis II, and we would like to welcome you to our show. Tech Gumbo is a conversation about the past, present, and future of all things technology in a topical, interesting, and digestible way. We want to thank our sponsor, Cardinal Capital. They connect businesses to capital. It does not matter what business you're in. Cardinal Capital has the resources all across the U.S. that are willing to help fund organizations of any sizes, life cycles, categories, or locations. Cardinal Capital works with you to craft the best commercial finance package for you to achieve your business goals. Whether you're looking to refinance current debt because of the new government programs and the favorable interest rates, or you're trying to finance new equipment, expand your existing business, or acquire another one, Cardinal Capital has the resources to make it happen. When banks cannot do a loan, they seek out Cardinal Capital to help. The Cardinal Capital guys are easy to work with and fun to be around. Contact them today at 225-308-3700 or send them an email at info@cardinalcap.net, where they'll be happy to help you with your commercial finance needs.
And each week, we take a listener question to talk about a topic that they sent us via text. And this week's question is, okay, should I upgrade to Windows 11 now? And the answer is no.
The Windows 11 came out this week. It is no longer in beta. It is the official release. And for the same reason that we answered the question about upgrading to the new iOS, you know, it's just not ready yet. There's no reason to be the first person to run out there and jump out there. Give it more time. Let it bake a little bit more. And then eventually get to it.
Number one, the biggest reason not to upgrade right now is Windows 10 is a great operating system. It is very stable. It is very thorough. It is very, very good operating system. And so there's not a big reason to get away from Windows 10. The next big thing is Windows 11 is just kind of half-baked right now.
Some of the coolest features that we've talked about were the ability to run apps in, natively as part of the platform. Well, that's not ready yet. They said that it's not, they haven't announced when the day is coming.
Well, that feature will be ready sometime next year. And that may be about the time I'm ready to go to Windows 11 sometime next year.
We've talked about this since they first announced Windows 11. Not only is there not really a huge reason to leave 10, there's not really a big hook in 11. There's no features that I'm like, oh, that's missing from my life right now. It's a bunch of stuff where it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, that's kind of nice. Or, oh, I might use that every once in a while. But I trust Windows 10. It is sturdy. It is reliable. There's just not a whole lot happening here in 11 that is pushing me in that direction.
One review I read, the guy was saying, everything he's experiencing with Windows 11, well, this is how I, but I'd rather did it. I did it in Windows 10 better. I like the way I did it in Windows 10. And I want to go back to Windows 10 to do it the way Windows 10 worked, because it was easier in Windows 10. And Windows 11 may get there eventually, and they may clean it up and make it better. But for right now, the clear, easy answer is just say no, stick with your Windows 10.
I agree. And thank you to the listener. You will get your Tech Gumbo mug.
And again, that number 225-255-0431. Send us a text and we would love to send you a mug. The next story we want to talk about has to do with millennials that are much more worried about their Facebook being breached than their bank accounts.
On the surface, this feels very much like a classic, ha ha ha, millennials are dumb story. But whenever you actually start to take it apart, this one did make a little bit more sense. My reading of this was that, because especially the story compares millennials to Gen X to baby boomers. First of all, millennials and Gen X had pretty much the same level of concern about their Facebook being hacked. It was the boomers who are most concerned about their financial information being stolen through their bank accounts. But when you think about it, if your money is stolen digitally, your Chase will put it back. Discover will put it back. But if your Facebook is hacked, it's much harder to, you know, message all those people saying, oh, that wasn't me. I didn't post that. I didn't send that. I'm so sorry. it's much harder to put that cat bat in the back in the bag.
And that is such a fascinating take, that as a baby boomer, I had not even thought that way. To me, I'm much more concerned about, you know, my Merrill Lynch account and my Chase account and all of the financial stuff. That's got to be locked down, airtight, don't screw with me kind of stuff. And Facebook, yeah, okay, I can just delete the Facebook account if I have to. I don't care. As opposed to you being a millennial, you just look at it differently. Not right, not wrong, just different.
Yeah, because to me, all of that money's insured. That one, I don't have a Merrill Lynch account, but you know, there are the digital institutions, the monetary institutions. If I'm able to show, look, that's a fraudulent transaction. I didn't spend that money. I didn't log in. That's not me. They'll say, oh, you know what? You're totally right. Here, we'll put it back. Yeah, sure, it's going to take you a couple days and you might have to get some new cards or whatever, but that's not that big of a deal. But if I am looking to get hired somewhere and someone posts something ridiculous on my Facebook page and my future employer says, oh, you want to tell us about that post? And then I don't get that position. Now you're actually affecting my life. And so that's how I viewed this post. That's how I read this.
Truly fascinating, the differences, but I completely understand better now your take on it. Because yes, I did. I read this as the old fashioned, you know, the old baby boomer. You know, of course I'm much more concerned about this than I am about that. And yeah, it makes sense from that perspective, that where your priorities are, or not priorities, that's the wrong way to say it, but where your concerns are.
Yeah, because that just comes from my experience. And I also, you know, understand your view that like you didn't grow up with the same things. And that's back in the day, if money was stolen from you, it was stolen and it was gone. And I would be much more concerned if I had that fear that money that was stolen digitally would be gone. And so that's just the generational divide here.
Cool story. Good explanation. That's good. So let's move on to the next story. This was a fascinating story to me. A company called SailDrone is working with the NOAA. They have put out 5 different sailboat drones, and one of them has sailed right into the eye of Hurricane Sam.
Yeah, these are super cool. They are, you know, robots that are mobile scientific labs, basically. It's sailboat that they've attached all kinds of crazy weather sensors on it, and that they are just trying to go out and collect as much data as they possibly can, because to this point in time, we've never been able to do this. You know, it's not safe to send a human being on a boat into the middle of a hurricane to collect all this information. But if it's just a robot, yeah, sure, it can flip, it can, you know, ride the waves, it's not worried. And so this is super cool.
So this thing is 23 feet long. It has video cameras. It has all kind of batteries to keep its, you know, power going for extended periods of time. And it pushes all of this information up to the satellites. And so there's video out there of this drone in the middle of the hurricane in 50-foot waves and 120-mile-an-hour winds that nobody has ever seen this stuff up close before.
Nobody's ever seen it and lived to tell the tale.
Exactly. Yeah, there are probably a whole bunch of wooden boats 400 years ago that got to see that. But yeah, they didn't get back to shore after the boat was broken into a million pieces. And so here's this video now of what a 50-foot wave inside of a hurricane looks like. As opposed to the hurricane hunters flying the airplanes at 1,000 feet and dropping little parachutes out to collect data. Now you're down on the water. That's fascinating to me.
Oh, and the people over at the NOAA are just thrilled about all of this, because now you have a different type of data to feed the models. You know, they've said, you know, if we could just understand what's happening at the surface, that would give us such a different perspective. We'd be able to understand it so much better. You know, our predictions will get more accurate. Our, you know, where it's going, how strong it's going to be, what impact it's going to have. They're now all able to start understanding those things much better. And so they are confident this will make significant improvements to the whole field of hurricane forecasting.
I'm so excited about this. I mean, especially living in South Louisiana with our proclivity to have hurricanes come through the coast, having this kind of information to know more details is just awesome. I'm so excited, and chalk one up to science and autonomous vehicles.
Yeah, it is. Not all autonomous vehicles ride roads.
So another story we wanted to follow up on, a story we've kind of talked about from time to time. The FCC has once again said, no more robocalls. We're going to block all the robocalls because phone companies have to block carriers that don't meet the FCC robocall deadline.
The act was called STIR/SHAKEN, which stands for Secure Telephone Identity Revisited. All right, actually makes the word STIR. But then SHAKEN is signature-based handling of asserted information using tokens. And so they tried with SHAKEN, and it's all of it is just mumbo-jumbo that there's some more secure stuff happening. They're trying harder. And robocalls have gone down 8%, but that's not really the large-scale reduction that we're hoping to see here.
So instead of getting 25 robocalls a day, you're only getting 23. Big deal. Part of the problem, one of the researchers from North Carolina State University said, there's just too many loopholes. So you can drive a truck through these loopholes that allow these carriers to keep doing all of the robocalling and now robo-texting, and it's just getting out of control.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating thing is, all right, even if robocalls start declining, I get more robo-texts today than I used to before. I've gotten 15 texts in the past month that are some poorly worded version of, we are AT&T, you know, you're eligible for this link, click this link. Very obvious that it's spam or fraud. And so, and it's a different number every time. And it's like, well, we just move the problem. I don't answer my phone anyway, but I look at text messages. And so we need to stay one step ahead of this instead of three steps behind it.
Maybe one day the FCC will be able to give these cellular carriers, the AT&T, Verizons, T-Mobiles of the world, some kind of guidance, and they will actually be able to shut this down. But in the meantime, if you get a phone call from a number you don't recognize, just don't answer it. Just let it go to voicemail and then call them back if they actually leave you a voice message. Because chances are, it's nothing more than another robocall.
And again, looking at frustrating intrusions, the U.S. government is looking to sue contractors who don't report cybersecurity breaches.
The Justice Department is now poised to sue government contractors who work for the federal government. If you get hacked and you don't tell us you've been hacked, we're coming after you. So even though you're a private business, and what happens in your private business is your private business, but if you're doing business with the federal government, you're no longer just a private business. So you got to tell us everything going on.
Well, I think we can look at the SolarWinds hack. That SolarWinds was a private company, but because they were doing all that stuff for the federal government, the federal government says, hey, you're embedded inside of us. You're compromising us now. It's not just you who's paying this price. You know, we have secrets here. We have official government things that need to be hidden. And if some bad actor is coming after you to get to us, we need to know, because the methods that they use, how they do it, who's doing it, that's likely part of a pattern fueled by other state actors.
And it's no longer just about the one company being attacked. It's now, if they're doing it to you, they're doing it to dozens or hundreds of companies. You've got to help us help you and help everybody else. The idea that, oh, hey, we got hacked, say nothing to anybody. Mum's the word, gang. Don't spread. That's not the way to go about this. You can do it discreetly with the Homeland Security Department. You can do it through the FBI. You don't have to run to the local news outlet and broadcast that you've been hacked. You can do this smart, but you've got to do it. You've got to help. Everybody has to fight these guys together. We can't do it alone.
And it's also important to note that it's not every single business. It's only businesses who are government contractors. And so if you're a government contractor, that already comes with all kinds of additional rules and regulations for doing business with the government. You know, it's not just your average local business on the street. But yeah, you know, if this is, it's really important because cybersecurity attacks like this are also, you know, they're about the bigger picture. You are a vector. You're not the end goal. And that is the 21st century world we live in, is that we're becoming more and more connected. And that means that you have to deal with problems together.
Kind of dovetails into the last little story we want to talk about. A really, really bad data breach has happened on the streaming platform Twitch.
And I think to call this a data breach is just underselling it. This is by far the most thorough and comprehensive leak that I've ever seen of any sort of tech platform, because all of Twitch's internal code, all the way down to the bone, ever has been leaked here.
All of their security vulnerabilities, the payments to its content creators, everything was posted on an anonymous message board, 128 gigabytes of just code. This isn't pictures. This isn't video. This isn't audio. This is just line after line of code taking up 128 gigabytes. Proprietary software, and it's all been released.
Yeah, all of their digital clients, how they interface with everything, the structures of their platforms, anything which had the name Twitch on it and was code is now just floating out there completely free, completely available. This has never happened before to a company of this scale. It truly is incredible. And the leak also said, this is part one. If there's more, oh my God, I don't even know what it would be.
Well, what's really frightening here is Twitch is owned by Amazon. So by Twitch being owned by Amazon, what kind of portals from Twitch into Amazon are there? Because all of that code is out there. So they now have, they know if there is a portal going from Twitch into Amazon, they just walk through it. And so now they're inside of Amazon looking at everything there.
Yeah, and that's the thing we don't know, is we don't know how this happened. We don't know who did it. We don't know how they got into Twitch. We don't know what methods they used. And this had to have taken a long time, but people who were very motivated, because no company stores all of this in one place. It wasn't like it's a single vault that got opened. This was thorough. This was systematic. This was sustained. And so if you got all the way in like this, you know, how far are you into those other places? You know, was it the same vulnerabilities in other parts of Amazon or Amazon, the main branch? This is scary.
It really is. And so the anonymous user posted the hashtag do better Twitch. Not only did they post, they hung out Twitch's laundry all the way down to their dirty underwear. But then they put a snotty little note, do better Twitch, on the back end of it.
Well, the do better Twitch is a callback to a hashtag that was over the summer that Twitch as a community has really kind of sucked. They have done a really bad job of protecting a lot of their streamers. And so you would have, you know, hate groups just show up on streamers' platforms and just crash them, especially women and people of color. And so a lot of the members of the community were saying, hey, you have to do something, so we can't just have, you know, extremists show up and yell at us. No one wins here. Please just, like, do better, Twitch. And this very much feels like someone was saying, all right, if Twitch as a platform, you're going to continue to be unhelpful, we're going to make you helpful. You just became open source.
This is an angry person who is reaching out and has Twitch by the short hairs and said, we're tired of how bad you are. we're going to see where this plays out. And we do want to thank General Informatics for sponsoring our show. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. From the beginning, we've maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 70-plus engineers, programmers, and designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business's strength. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. The true testament to GI's success, however, has been strategic support to our clients' growth. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or you just have a question, visit us on the web. We're geninf.com. And if you enjoyed our show today, we're here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m., and the show will rerun Sundays at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show or would like to hear this or any previous episode, check out our podcast available on most every podcast platform, including Amazon Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Overcast, Player FM, and Podchaser. And when you're there, be sure to subscribe so you will be notified every time a new episode is posted. And if you like our show, if you have a suggestion, or you want to send us a question that we may use for Question of the Week, text us at 225-255-0431. And if we use your question, we will send you a beautiful Tech Gumbo mug. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.